Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Monique's Pet Whisper. So, getting back in the groove of recording, it's been about a week. I have been going through some serious things, and now I'm going to talk about it a little bit. You know, being an entrepreneur in Colorado is no easy task, especially if you're an entrepreneur who happens to be considered of the minority class. It's really discouraging for many entrepreneurs of color who are seeking funding opportunities and resources in order to actually further their business or to even get started. But sadly, you know, most of us are rejected for funding opportunities. Unless you go through like certain channels, and that still can be a little bit cumbersome, especially if you don't have time to go through a whole program. Things like that. Today is Mother's Day, and I want to give recognition to, you know, not only the mothers, but Black women entrepreneurs who are striving to pave the way. I'm feeling bittersweet, I would say, because I have reached a milestone in my career, and I'm not just a social justice advocate. I actually worked in the area of economic development and international trade for the state of Colorado for the Minority Business Office. And during my time in this role as program manager, it opened my eyes to so many things that many people would never know. It opened my eyes to understanding how the financial ecosystem is actually governed from on the state level, and how different things work in the city, and, you know, powerful people and how they're able to, you know, pass a bill, be influential, and move needles. Okay. So a lot of people, they were very excited that I worked for the Minority Business Office, just because I was a Black woman in that role. I don't think in the past administration there was any Black people. It was all a Latino organization. And regardless, it's encouraging just to see a Black woman's face. Well, sadly, I'm no longer working for the Minority Business Office. I'm too drained to get into anything regarding that. I have been through a battle for fighting for justice and equality for many businesses throughout the state. I am the voice of the community. You know, I am the voice of the community. I am the still small voice, the one that is hard to hear, the one that is frequently ignored, the one that causes a rumble in your stomach, the one that makes you think about the truth. I am the still small voice. I am the still small voice that tends to drive you crazy as you try to sleep at night, trying to ignore the cries and the echoes from people calling out to you for help. Okay? I am the still small voice that reminds you of all the nightmares that you have created based on fake, false policies with no true end result, no true impact. You know, no true way of really showing people that you are there to really invest in them. I am the still small voice that reminds you of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And why is that such an illusion for so many people? When we have to share this space and this planet together. Okay. But when you try to snuff out a voice, we became 20 million echoing chambers of the past, of the ghost of the past, of the whiplash. When you tried to snuff us out through leaving us out of information, leaving us out of things that would cause our nation to rise if we knew about it, leaving us out. But yet we are the contributors to the economic financial stream. We are taxpayers too. We have fought in many wars, black and blue. We have been around, okay, we've been around a long time. But why is it that the Negro, and I remember seeing like James Baldwin and, you know, different historical leaders, they would talk about why it would be called the plight of the Negro. You ever see those old black and white documentaries? And it's, you know, they have the music. And then they start in the plight of the black Negro. We're going to zoom in this documentary. It is 1964 in Chicago, and the little black Negro child is wandering around the streets without his mother. His mother is working two jobs, one as a maid and one as a dishwasher and a cook. We're here in the black community to survey how these people actually survived their plight and their trauma. We have with us today a little single black mother named Harriet, and she has how many kids do you have? Four, sir. Oh, you have four kids, and so you all live in the inner city slums of Chicago, and how are you all making it during the civil rights, this movement for equality and change? Well, sir, we're trying really hard. You know, my children are running around and, you know, trying to keep them safe, trying to keep them away from getting into harm's way. Well, how is that? Can I ask you a few questions then, Harriet? Well, they said that your son, I think his name is Jerome. Yeah, he was roaming around in the wrong neighborhood. And can you tell us a little bit about what happened to your son? Oh, you know about that, sir? Well, yes. And in fact, it was all over, you know, been all over the paper. You didn't think I was just interviewing you for nothing, did you? Well, I'll tell you a little bit about it. You know, my son, he was just hungry. And he decided, because I didn't have enough food to feed him, that he would go into one of, you know, Mr. Mikey's, you know, corner store. And I guess he was hungry and he stole a sandwich and some milk. And he took off a running. And they called the law. They called the police on him and took him to jail. So, Harriet, your son Jerome, they took him to jail. Is he still in jail today? Yes, he's been in jail now for about 6 months. And he's only 14. I mean, yes, America, this is the plight of the Negro child and the Negro family living in the south side of Chicago. So tell us a little bit more about your daughter, little Marianne. Would you care to tell us what's going on? Well, sir, I really wasn't planning to talk about. Are you telling me you don't want to share anything with America today? Well, my little daughter Marianne, she kind of got into some trouble at school. Well, how old is she? I mean, getting into trouble at such a young age. You must have your hands full now as a single parent. Now, what kind of trouble is she getting into? Well, she's going to a daycare and, you know, the kids were making fun of her. They called her dirty and called her names and started pulling at her hair. And next thing you know, she grabbed hold of one of the little girls and dunked her head in some water. Well, is that the whole story now, Harriet? Are you telling us the whole story about what really happened? Okay, well, the truth is, she dunked her head in some toilet water. Oh my goodness, your daughter did such a... What would cause her to do such a thing? I mean, what kind of education did she have? Well, she kind of started school a little late, but she, they said she's reading just fine, and for her age, I mean, she's not behind on anything. But Harriet, you're not answering the question. How was your daughter and your child exposed to such actions, such deplorable actions? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about what it's like growing up in the South Side of Chicago? Well, I can't say it's easy. I mean, tell us a little bit about where you live. You know, some type of small housing unit apartment. Well, yeah, it's sort of a project. You know, a place where a lot of us colored people live. And is it crowded now, Harriet? Well, yeah, I'd say so. Is it infested with insects and rats and other sorts of things? Well, that's kind of normal around where I live. I mean, the trash man only comes every so often, and, it's just trash never really gets picked up in our neighborhoods. They said that, black folks, we live like rats, and, that's the way they treat us, so we do our best, I reckon, to keep things clean. Well, tell me a little bit about your living conditions. I mean, is it true that you really don't have any food to eat at your house? Well, yeah, it's true. It's, I could barely afford to take care of my children, not getting really much help from my family. My grandmother passed away, and my child's father, they locked him away in an old jail, prison somewhere in Kansas, and I haven't... Well, tell us a little bit about what happened. I mean, is it true that he, did what he did? I mean, wouldn't that kind of make you a little bit kind of like him, Oh, no, sir. I would never do the things that he did. Well, tell us what he did. I mean, it seems like you're protecting him. Well, I swore I wouldn't really talk to Gal or you. This is your chance to tell the truth in front of America. What did he do? Isn't he a freedom fighter? Well, we don't go by titles or anything. Well, tell us what this person did. What would land him to go to jail up the creek? Well, him and a group of guys were a little upset about a lynching that happened down south, and a lynching of a little boy, as a matter of fact. And because this town is so small, they don't get a lot of help from, the colored people. They don't get the help they need. And because, as usual, they got away with the lynching of the little boy. My old man, he was upset about that. Him and a group of guys got together and started burning down, houses in the neighborhood. And what else did they do? Well, you're not telling me the whole truth. Okay, well, they went and grabbed the guy that was responsible and strung him up, just like they strung up the boy. Really? And you're saying that like you're kind of proud of that. Is that true? Well, no. You asked me to tell you, and that's what happened. So, yeah. So, does it make sense now why your life is so hard? I mean, look at the things that you've been involved in. Your children are doing violent acts. Your child's father is a violent man, and you're living in deplorable conditions. I mean, the plight of the Negro child is at stake, and I don't think that they'll be really able to compete with other children their age. Oh, well, you know, I'm doing my best, I reckon. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So this is a little bit about one family in the south side of Chicago. And as you can see, you know, the Negroes live in deplorable conditions, not able to buy houses, not able to really live like the rest of us, live like civilians. And we have with us today another gentleman. This man, his name is Brodus, and Brodus has been locked up in Pine County for the last 12 years. And, you know, Brodus came from Florida, so we're going to learn a little bit about why the Negro can't seem to stay out of trouble. So, Brodus, thank you for joining us today. We're doing this interview on the plight of the Black Negro and why the Negro finds it difficult to stay out of trouble, and why the Negro is, you know, constantly getting himself into trouble. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a look at these things. So Brodus, tell us a little bit about your childhood. Oh, well, what do you want to know? Oh, I see. You sound like an uppity Negro to me. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your childhood. Well, I'd say that I grew up in Arkansas. My parents were both in the church. My father was a minister and his daddy was a minister. My mother came from Louisiana and married a very educated man, a Negro man who happened to be passing, and they were able to get the finest things in life. And I didn't really want for much. Oh, so you mean to tell me, Brodus, that you had a well-to-do background? Is that what you're trying to tell me? I'd say so. I mean, I grew up with the finest of things. So what caused you to, you know, change? What caused that violent tendency to come around? Well, you know, growing up seeing so many of my family lynched and beaten and abused caused me to have a disdain and a hatred for people that wanted to hurt other people. Okay, Brodus, and tell us what you did that's causing you to get the electric chair. Well, or the death penalty. I don't know how they're going to get you, man, but I know they're taking you out. Well, I didn't really appreciate the way we were being treated, and there was a man that was lord over the town where I lived, and he was responsible for getting my family killed and many other children terrible things, and I swore that I would get revenge once I knew how to. And so one night I decided to follow him home. He was a judge, and he left the courtroom and jumped in his car, and I kind of followed after him, and well, you know, that's it. Oh my goodness, you mean to tell me that you followed that man? You were so violent towards him. Well, he was violent towards a lot of people. But that doesn't give you the right to take his life. Well, what gave him the right to take everybody else's? Well, you know what, Negro, you got what you deserve. And that's the reason why we're building more and more prisons. And I want America to know the plight of the Negro is in his hands. He decides his fate. He decides what he chooses. It is not the fault of the white man to be responsible for the living conditions, for the resources, and for the things that the Negroes claims that they need and that they don't have. People like Brodus deserve to be behind bars. They deserve what's coming to them. So next, I want to turn our attention to another case of one that claims to be innocent. Her name is Triana. Triana, what a name is Triana. What a name is that? I mean, I see that looks like they've given you 24 years to life. Tell us a little bit about your plight and how and what's going on with you, Triana. Well, I really have, you know, a hard time. Oh, I know, whether since they've got this machine on and it's constantly making me feel like I'm going crazy. It gets louder and louder. I know, I just can't seem, they got me kind of plugged in and doing all these tests to figure out what's wrong with me. Well, Triana, I see that you've been in this hospital for quite some time, and they said they're going to transfer you out of here to be with the rest of the inmate population. And you've been trying to come up with excuses as to why you don't deserve or you don't need to be with the rest of the inmates. You're claiming to be crazy, they say. Well, I don't know what I am. I just know that I've had some really bad things happen to me, and I'm just ready to get revenge on that old bastard. Oh boy, what old bastard are you talking about? Well, I'm just really uncomfortable with, I'm just uncomfortable, and I'm reading through your little report here, and they said you got three different personalities, and it says here that you attacked a man because he supposedly put his hands on you when you was working in the kitchen. Is that true? Well, it's true that I was attacked by somebody when I was in the kitchen, and he was always eyeballing me. What do you mean, gal, he attacked you? I mean, tell America the truth. Did this man, who is a respected doctor in the community, who has been doing, you know, surgical procedures for the last 25 years, and you're telling us that this man tried to put his hands on you? Well, he did. I mean, I don't know why no one believes me. I'm just a little old woman. Yeah, that's what you all say, but we know about you. You know, the Negro woman has ways of, you know, being single moms and really not keeping men around and probably doing violent tendencies to your men. So I'm wondering about you. Tell America the truth about who you are. Every day I would go to see Dr. Michael, but he said I could call him Michael. I don't believe some white man would ever let you call him by his first name. You mean to tell me that this is what he says? Tell America the truth. I don't believe you. Well, it's true. He let me call him Michael. Well, what gave you the right to do that? Well, it was because he said I was, you know, one of his favorite cooks. And I've, you know, have known him since I was 14 years old. My mother used to work in his house, and Mama used to bring me over to his house, and he'd be practicing on certain people, and he would always want me to stay behind, and he would always want to talk to me without Mother around. And Mother always told me that to be careful of him, that he would try. Gal, listen, I'm going to cut this recording here pretty soon, because we got this woman talking crazy. You know, the women, the Negro woman has often found herself trapped between heaven and hell, between getting pregnant and raising her baby, between working, scrubbing floors and having thoughts of, you know, thoughts about herself that aren't good. And this type of Negro woman has been, you know, on radar for many, many things that a society needs to be aware of. I mean, this woman is sitting here in front of me, incarcerated, locked up, stating that a white, respectable doctor laid hands on her. And as a society, we have to put limits to what we let these people say, and make sure we regulate them on more of what they do. So we've got this person, she's incarcerated for lying on a white man. And not only that, for hurting a white man, and more importantly, for killing him. So, Triana, tell us more about what you did. I need to know a little bit more about what you did. Well, I guess I reckon it doesn't matter now. You know, I'm not going to be here for much longer. One day I was trying to cut up some cucumbers for the salad, and I was starting to cut up the tomatoes, and I could smell that old whiskey he'd always liked to drink, that old, some kind of Jim Beam or something like that. And he'd always come down to the parlor where I would have to get things straightened up, and I knew what time it was, and I just didn't want to do nothing. And he came in and he started calling my name, and he was drunk as a skunk, and he was holding some kind of scissors or something, like some surgical things he uses. And he told me that he needed to take a look at me. And I knew what time it was. I said, by golly, God, I won't let this man kill me, because that's what he intends to do. And so he began to get aggressive and start chasing me around. And I found an old brick, grabbed it, and I swung it and hit him in the head. And the old doctor fell down and hit his head on a cement, you know, block. And that broke his neck. And that was what happened to him. Now they said that I killed him, and I killed a white man. And ever since I've been locked up, you see all these burns and bruises on my body? That's because they beat me up for it every single day. They remind me of what I've done every single day till the good Lord sing. And honestly, it's better that I'm gone and dead and gone, because what I'm receiving in this place is far worse than what I was receiving from that doctor. So I prayed to the good Lord just to take me away. Well, gal, now, I mean, you can't really just escape death. You think Jesus is going to forgive you for all those sins that you did? I mean, Negra, maybe in another life, I mean, Negro, maybe in another lifetime you can be better, but I'll tell you what, you really committed a deplorable offense. Well, I was tired of him. I was tired of him doing things to me that I said no to. Well, I mean, you know, Again, America, let me just turn our attention back to the topic at hand. As you notice a pattern that these black people are getting into trouble. They're having these issues. They want equality. They want to come into our world. They want to join forces and do things with us. And they don't belong. They don't belong in our neighborhoods, and they don't belong in our schools. You know, they're of a lower class of people that they're not quite human. You know, they've been behind on the education system. They've been behind in linguistics, been behind on, you know, opportunities, you know, can't decipher A from B. And don't ever put a weapon in their hands, because Lord knows you might be the one, a dead man. You can't have them in your neighborhoods. You can't have them in your homes fixing appliances. First of all, because they might come in and take your wife away from you. They may come in and do something to your little children. They may come in and, you know, kill you in your sleep. You know, so we got to keep those Negroes out of here. And when I'm examining all of these Negroes in trouble, their children in trouble, education in trouble, we're in trouble as a society. We have too many of these Negroes walking around free, walking around just like ticking time bombs. And what do we need to do with a ticking time bomb? We need to make sure that ticking time bomb is inside of a 4-block cement wall. 4-block cement wall. 4-block cement wall. Bing! Let's talk a little bit about the prison systems. Okay. So, sadly, we know the stats on people going to prison. We know it's ridiculous. Okay. Especially black people. But what's even more concerning is the number of people who have been wrongfully convicted that are in a prison cell. The only thing I try to really think about, how could that this happen to people where they're actually, that's like somebody getting me mixed up. Okay. They said that I committed a murder, and I know I didn't. But because I happened to not be home, I happened to be in these certain spaces that somehow aligned up with whatever happened to this person. And because the stereotype is all you guys look alike, then you're relying on a human being who thinks all people look alike to make the right decision when they're doing that lineup of who did what. How many black men and women went to prison based off of a false lineup report? Meaning when the victim says, I know I want to see who my murderer, I'm not my murderer was, but see who the person was that assaulted me or did the crime. But if you have that whole thought about everybody looks alike, you're in trouble. Because they'll just pick anybody and pick the wrong person, and that person is in jail or in prison fighting for their life. What the hell is that? But it happens all the time. You know, people acting like gatekeepers is one of the issues that we're dealing with. Okay. If you know that somebody's making a wrong decision, or you can move the needle on justice, but you choose not to do that because you're lazy or because you're used to kind of skating under the rug, that skating under the rug will get pulled from underneath you. So that skating is going to cause you to trip and fall. There's a lot of organizations right now skating under the rug. You are still of the stereotype in your mind about you have this ideology of black people. You don't really even understand the history. Civil rights, if you're just watching it from the media, you're just going to think it's just a bunch of angry black people trying to get accepted by white folks. You're not going to know about the stories that people of color have experienced, where you're just being mistreated, you won't get served. You know, you're paying taxes. Let me just be clear here. Not only do we pay taxes, not only did our ancestors pay taxes, but we also bought into your industries. Even though we were excluded from working in your industry, we had to buy from your industry to coexist. Okay, so we are investors. So not only do you mistreat the people, so here's what you are. Just, I want you to know who you are. What you truly are is a selfish, greedy parasite, and you know it. Because you know that you're pimping people, you're taking their money, but because of their race, you're saying these people are stupid, but I'm going to take their money, but I'm still going to exclude them out of financial and economic opportunity and resources. But yet I'm still going to take their money. So then when it's time for them to have equality and they're getting upset, I get upset. Why are these black people always complaining about everything? Well, because you're not giving them any of the resources that you promised. What resources did we promise? Well, first of all, you promised us a 40-acre and a mule a long time ago. We never got that. Well, gosh darn it, I forgot all about that 40-acre and a mule. Well, what good would you guys do with that? I mean, heck, us plantation owners, we own so much land. Why would we give you 40 acres of the land you worked for generations and generations? I mean, you didn't pay for it. Yes, we did. We paid for it through our blood, sweat, tears, and survival and the rebirth of new generations that also worked your land. Yeah, but you still didn't pay for it. Yeah, it was bought and paid for by my blood, by my sweat, by my tears, by the dreams that were deferred and never even came into fruition, or the dreams that were bombed because of racist Jim Crow antics. Well, still, I mean, gosh darn it, you guys are just mules yourself. I mean, heck, we wrote that up in the Constitution, yet you're just 3/5 of a person. I mean, that's not a whole person. I mean, what is that, 75% of a person? I mean, not even that. I mean, you guys are just, you know, slovenly mules. Well, yeah, you call us mules, but we have to till the land. We had to work as mules. We had to work as horses. We had to work as ox. You treated us like we were an object rather than a person of respect. And yet we sweated under the sun, under the tears of the moon. We had blood all up in the soil and blood all up everywhere boiling. Okay. But Jesus Willikers. You know, I'm just saying, I will say, I really think that you guys are the best, some of the best cooks, especially that fried chicken, you know, that you guys make, and got to figure out how can we get in where we fit in on that fried chicken sort of concept. Oh, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah. Yeah, the Kentucky Fried Chicken will be a great concept. Mm-hmm. Oh, and what about that Uncle Ben's rice? Yep, that Uncle Ben, he was always a cooking in the kitchen like mama. He was cooking all of that rice up and baking, cooking like Hercules Posey, cooking that baked chicken and ham and with pineapples and... Yeah, and everyone trusted Uncle Ben, so Uncle Ben became everybody's friend, and next thing you know, he became a household brand, And we're still getting paid from his that nigger's face. That nigger's face. Oh, and Aunt Jemima. Aunt Jemima was everybody's mama. You remember Aunt Jemima because you had your own Aunt Jemima. Mama, did you have an Aunt Jemima? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I had an Aunt Jemima and a nanny too. And when I was a little baby, we sucked her titty because she was our nanny. She breastfed us all her milk. And I grew up to be a Southern Belle. Yep.
My name is Tony Yope. And I like to kick around rocks. And yeah, I used to have, black niggers used to do a lot of work for us.
But yeah, why would I give you the 40 acres and the mule? When all you guys know how to do is sing, hoop, hollering in the choir. Y'all just want to be like us so bad, you know? I mean, the integration, I don't understand it, you know? But I'm trying to understand what, If it says for whites only, you know, why would we want niggers, you know, drinking out of the same water fountain as us? Why would we want niggers swimming with us? Why would we want, you know, to integrate our children with those niggers? Why would we want, you know, to go shopping with those niggers? Don't you know those niggers are dirty? When they touch things, you know, dirt comes off. When they touch things, you know that they're like animals. Look at their hair. They're like beasts. Only beasts of the fields have hair like that, have wiry hair like that. Lions even have hair like that. Beast of the field, they're beast of the field. That's why those little ninnies can just be so strong and be so powerful and strong, and we can beat them to death and they'll still be strong. We can abuse them to death and they'll be strong, tough. Tough as steel, tough as the knife, tough as grit, tough as the leather on the seat, tougher than the rock, aggressive as the tornado storm, you know, grit like Mike. You can break those niggers down to the ground and they'll still be strong, howling in the wind. Grit. So why, again, would we give you 40 acres and a mule? Well, because you all deserve to give us more than that. Let me tell you one thing. Because you are still benefiting from all the things. There's still injustice. But because so many other people have put their agendas on the platter, now it has caused a great divide in which you can't seem to understand the Negro's plight. The Negro's plight is hidden like a very expensive gem in a deep vat of dirt. It's like you will never understand it, and even in this lifetime, okay? And whoever wants to make a difference and help us, then you will be blessed. But for people that are walking around still perpetuating this crap, you won't be blessed, okay? I don't know. My brain's tired, to be honest, because I'm trying to understand why in the hell are people so greedy? I don't understand it. If we don't, as a human race, I'm warning all of you, if we don't get things together, will we be around one day? The answer is no. You will have failed the project and the mission. Why is it called human race? Okay, there is a true, I was talking to a friend of mine, there is a real battle between black and white. It's between black energy and white energy. It has nothing to do with skin. Let me say that again. There is a battle between black energy and white energy. It has nothing to do with skin. Okay, so most of you would think black energy is bad energy, dark energy. And that's, you know, and in certain respects, yes, that can be considered whatever, dark, scary. But the truth is that we live in a void. We actually live in a vortex, some kind of dark energy. We're in it. Look out. If the sun was not here, what would we be looking at? Darkness. Okay. Would we be alive? No. We'd be spirits just floating around looking at the dark sky. But because we have a sun, that's temporary. That sun will die one day. Okay, and we'll have a new sun. Actually, we're not. We're going to actually go into the sun. Why do you think we're children of the sun? Okay, we will go back into the sun. How do we do that? When the sun reaches a certain peak in its phase and it's starting to become a dwarf, when the sun actually dies, it will explode. Boom. And all of the things around it will be sucked into it like a vortex, and it will be drawn into it. Okay. That's what will happen. And it'll become like a little bitty. And once that happens, then it can expand and become a whole, explode all new universes and all kind of other things. Okay. So the life and death of the sun. All right, so that's a temporary thing. So when I'm talking about white energy, so when I say it in this way, white represents it's a void. It's a void in the all ways you can think of it. Something you want to avoid because it's something that's going to cause destruction. It's something that's going to cause a delay. And it's something that's going to cause a lot of negative things to happen. Okay. It's going to cause memories to be forgotten. That's the energy of a white energy. Okay. It is stagnant, slow, and non-conforming. Okay. So can we see the white energy? No. But I'm describing it as a simple term. It's not going to evolve. It's going to be stagnant. So what happens when things are like that? In the spiritual world, they become entities. They become ones that live and reside in corners. Okay. Why do we always use the reference, I feel like I'm boxed in. I feel like I'm caged in. There is truth to the box of the actual square, the cube itself has corners and it has 90 degree angles all up in it. It is all about how you are utilizing that space. But when you are locked in a corner or in timeout, what energy are you getting from that corner? The corner represents like white space. Okay. It's where everything kind of sits and stagnant. When you have that, you become a parasite. So your energy is parasitic. That means it causes destruction. It causes waste. That's dangerous. So that's like equivalent to having a miniature tornado of energy that you can't see in the spiritual world that comes through and gobbles up things and destroys it. Okay. That's an example of white energy. Now, tornadoes serve a purpose. In fact, they're full of spirits, to be honest with you. They have electricity and wind and energy. And they're not ignorant. The tornado is very aware of what it's doing. And if you think it doesn't, that's because your brain is obviously very small. And it is small when you compare that to a massive tornado. There's some tornadoes that will skip over certain houses. Why is that? Who knows? Okay. There are some tornadoes that will go to certain houses. You don't know what happened on the land. And sometimes Earth says, I need this crap. It's like a pimple. It's like a tumor. I need this to be cut out. So when you think of that tornado, you need to think of it as getting rid of a tumor or something that was uncomfortable on the Earth's body. You wonder why tornadoes round themselves up in places like Kansas, Oklahoma, where a lot of Native Americans, indigenous people were murdered. Okay, all on the land. There will be times when there is BS going on amongst a lot of people, or they're saying and chanting stupid things. Suddenly the wind picks up. The wind's like, go home. I'm going to break up your parade. I'm going to break up your party. And I want you to leave now. How many times has that happened? Or someone, you hear a gunshot. No, first of all, the wind will pick up and then you hear a gunshot. That's because energy. In order to be on a trajectory of movement, of life, of churning life, and growth, you need to be able to be in the womb of life. A womb is what? Dark. It's an incubator. Okay. Even bacteria grows in darkness, right? Things grow in darkness. Does it mean it's bad? No. It's just life grows in the mystery of the dark. Not the mystery of the white. The mystery of the dark. There's a mystery of that. Okay. A white person can have dark energy. A black person can have white energy. Again, it doesn't matter the race. If what it matters is what plug socket are you plugging your energy into today? And the other thing I challenge humans to do is do things for yourself. Open up a business. Create benchmarks, gain some confidence. It's hard out here. If you can trust yourself in any situation, you can survive anything. You can. But don't give away yourself to the wrong. Don't ever give away all of yourself to anything or to anyone but you. And when you have that abundance, you can manage how you can share that abundance with other people. So again, today's Mother's Day. I talked about a lot of different things. And you'll hear more from me. I'm coming out of a battle. And I'm going to win. I have won. I feel like I have won. And you'll hear more from me. I'll try to record a little later today. But I appreciate you guys for tuning in to another pet whisper near you. Meow.